listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace and peace to you this day from Jesus, who is with us. Amen. Friends in Christ, indeed, we are distracted by many things. Often, when this text comes up or this story is told, we are invited to think about who we are in this story. Whether we're Marys sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, or whether we're more like Martha, worried and distracted by many things. It's true that we can be both Mary and Martha at different times in our lives, but today, for the sake of this sermon, I'm going to just assume that we're all Marthas here. Distracted, worried by many things. There's a little bit of Mary in each one of us too, I hope and I know. But in this day and age, we are almost programmed to pick up and respond to the distractions all around. I'd like to just take another moment just to think about what's distracting you right now. If you want to even jot it down, we did this in adult education, jot down maybe 10 things that are distracting you right this second, in this place in your life. Just take some silence just to think about that. What's distracting you? Are we relating to Martha yet?
Yeah.
Distractions in the world, distractions in your own life, distractions in the news, distractions in this space, distractions in our community. And how, when we are busy, and that's not bad, when we are busy serving people, when we're busy doing what it is we feel we are called to do, it's easy to be judgmental, though, of those who we feel like are not doing anything. Must be nice to have a vacation for that person. Maybe someone ought to work a little harder. And then Martha pulls this classic triangulation with Jesus. Do you know about triangulation? You know what that is? This happens sometimes in church communities, not this church, of course, but sometimes. Sometimes triangulation happens. It's an interesting side note here on our text, and I actually think it's a gift that we can talk about here. It was Dr. Murray Bowen that introduced this concept, as I understand. Instead of going directly to the person with whom we've got a problem, we go to somebody else and try to rope them in, get them on our side, and even go and talk to the person with whom we have the problem. And sometimes we even say, but don't tell them I told you. See the triangulation there? For example, if we've got a problem, I've had this actually happen. I get in triangles all the time. I had a problem with another pastor. Did I go talk to that pastor about what was bothering me? No, talk to the bishop about it. And told the bishop that he probably ought to take care of what's going on with that other pastor. And he, I go, why don't you go and have that conversation yourself? Another example, a husband and a wife. She's very frustrated by her husband's work habits, long hours, time away from the children. But instead of just talking directly to him, she gets on the phone with her sister. She tells her, but tells her not to say anything to her husband because she doesn't want to damage her good relationship with her husband. Is triangulation a healthy way of communicating? Of course not. Casey Brown of the Well Counseling Center, just one of many resources out there, suggests some ways to avoid triangulation. Go directly to the person with whom you have the conflict. Avoid trying to draw others in and get them on your side, especially behind the scenes. And try as much as you can to de-triangulate. Stay out of triangles. Encourage others who are venting to you to go directly to the person with whom they have the issue. Again, this is not the center of this text for today, but it's right here, packed into these couple little tiny verses. And I think it might be an unintended gift of this gospel text for us today, helping us communicate better with one another, and reminding us of some unhealthy pitfalls in our communication styles to which we're all susceptible by virtue of the fact that we are human beings. So poor Martha here. I mean, we're just really going to town on critiquing her. Poor Martha here. Hey, poor you and me, because I just said we're all Marthas. Not only is she getting nicked for being busy, as if that's a bad thing, but now also for being a poor communicator? Yep. But here's where Jesus gives her a gift. And this is a gift. All you doers, all you Marthas out there, this is a gift. Jesus gives her a gift today. He says, Martha, Martha, stop. Sit down. Breathe. Rather than getting hooked into the triangle Martha is trying to form, Jesus offers her a path out of the bitterness that she is obviously harboring to stop. This is the way out. Listen to me, Jesus says. This is the way out. Breathe, Jesus says. We teach this to children when they're upset. Four deep breaths at least is what we need to calm down. And I think Jesus is offering this to Martha and to us again today. Probably doesn't help that he uses her sister as the example. But we do get an image there of Mary, the human being, as opposed to the human doing. Stop, sit down, and breathe. How we too can be so distracted by so many things in our lives, in our world, even as we sit and try to breathe, maybe even in the sanctuary. We're so distracted by so many things. How we in the church can be all about church all the time and yet never truly worship, even when we're in worship. We're so distracted by so many things all the time. This is a great text, and one that always engages us and usually upsets us, if you're anything like me. I've had a number of conversations this last week about this Mary and Martha text. People are always on Martha's side. I mean, come on. What is she doing that's so wrong? What is wrong about that? I think right there is a distraction that we get wrapped into the bitterness. We're not even hearing what Jesus is saying because we're trying to defend her, and in that way really defending ourselves too. How is Jesus inviting you this day to stop, to sit down and breathe? Because Christ says this is the better part. There is so much here that relates to us today. We are called to listen. In a culture, in a world that is so often not listening, we are called to stop our talking, to watch and to wait, rather than to run and run and run all the time. In adult education, we're doing this. We're in our third week now, talking about Walter Brueggemann's book, Sabbath as Resistance, Saying No to the Culture of Now, where he says divine rest, he points to God, just in case it's too hard to stop. I don't have time to breathe. Well, God does these things. God stops. Brueggemann says, the divine rest on the seventh day of creation has made three things clear. That Yahweh is not a workaholic. Isn't that great? God is not a workaholic. Yahweh is not anxious about the full functioning of creation. And that the well-being of creation does not depend on endless work. There's a word in there for us too. It's okay. We need to hear that. This is a gift from Jesus. Christ invites us to rest this day. To stop this day. To center, to listen, and to know that God is God. We are human beings, not human doings, yes. And Christ makes us that this day. Christ redeems us from our incessant doingness, making us fully human beings. This is God's gift for us. We are made to sit at Jesus' feet. That's why we're created. We are created to sit at Jesus' feet. I've had some ideas in this community, particularly in worship planning, and it came up again this week. What about pillows in our pews? As an image, or if you want to take a nap, you could do that. as an image for stopping and resting. So often, I wonder if you're ticking off things right now that you need to do this week, because this is the only time you get to stop. So you kind of work, mind starts going. It is so hard in our busyness, in our fallen communication styles, in our running around so much, we lose almost a piece of our humanity, becoming like robots just knocking tasks off our lists, responding to every distraction that comes our way. I heard this story recently about a mother in the suburbs who was a coach. She volunteered at the kids' school. She drove the kids all over. She volunteered just in about every school committee and church committee. She was really the super mom. She loved her kids. That's why she's doing all this after all. The thing is, it's written by a pastor. The pastor writes that the child of this mother talked to him one time, confided in him that she hardly ever saw her mom. Her mom was so busy coaching and doing all these things, leading and volunteering for her kids, she was too busy to spend time with her kids. This is a phenomenal lesson for those who are leaders in the church, too. We can become so obsessed with doing God's work that we lose track of God. But Christ redeems us today. Our humanity is restored this day. And we are offered a place and a time to center and breathe and refocus. Prayer and listening and centering, it's precisely when we say we don't have time for these things that we know we need them. It's not that we shouldn't serve, of course. That time will come. There's six other days in the week, to use that image of the week. It's the centering and listening, sitting at Jesus' feet, like Mary did, must come before the serving so that we don't lose sight of the vision. I love that image of someone scrubbing the deck of the ship and not at the wheel, and so the ship runs ashore and crashes. We have to see where we're going, why we're doing all this work. And Jesus speaks this to us gently this day. Christ calls you by name. Invites you to slow down for a change. Look, there is need of only one thing, Christ instructs us. God is love. Christ is our hope. We are gathered this day back to the center, the ultimate concern. And here at the center, friends, we are forgiven. We are fed. The time will come to go and serve and do and act, but not before sitting at Christ's feet, receiving God's gifts at the table, this manger, if you will, these gifts which are poured out for you and for me in abundance. God's forgiveness washes over you in this time. God's peace shines upon you. God's presence fills every fiber of your being. And in a moment, God's very body, the bread of life, will fill your body. God's own blood will co-mingle with yours. Stop, listen, watch, and breathe. Christ's own gifts are being poured out for you and for many. There is peace and grace to go around that will never run dry. Come and rest here at the wellspring of hope, here at the center, here at the feet of Jesus. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.